Just a word of warning. I was really excited by this wonderful interview, and then it turned out that Skype was playing up. So sometimes I look blue and my guest looks blurry. But worse still, the sound is out of sync. But it's so moving, we didn't think we could capture it all again. So please treat it as a podcast, people. It's really worth listening to. Welcome, everybody. I'm here today with a young man I met recently who told me this amazing story about the impact on his life of his parents' family court battle. It's pretty inspiring, really, because it's all about Alex's devotion to his father, despite the efforts of the family court system to tear them apart. Well, hi, Alex. I'm really happy you were able to come today and talk about what's happened to you.
No worries, Bettina. Good to be here.
Look, I was really, as you know, when we first met and started talking about what, you know, the whole personal history, I thought a lot of people would be inspired to hear the, not so much the ghastly things that happened to you, but the fact that you hung in there and were so determined to have a, be able to still see your dad. So tell me when it all began. What age were you when your parents split up?
So first split up was when we moved down to Queenstown from Auckland when I was 5 years old.
And this was all in New Zealand.
Yeah, all in New Zealand. All in New Zealand. So first split when I was five. And for the first few years, I think it was fine. It wasn't until they started to fight over the custody that the problems really started to emerge.
When you split up, did you go with your dad or your mum, or how did that work out?
We moved to Queenstown when I was five, and they broke up soon after. So Mark would have been about three or four, and I would have been about seven.
Mm-hmm. And what happened? You went with your dad?
Yeah, so I went with dad, stayed at the school that I was in, was living with dad full-time, and I would see mum occasionally. And then when mum moved cities, she moved 3 hours away and put my younger brother into another school. She decided that she wanted full custody and to take me away from the school that I was in, the life that I had. And obviously dad had things to say about that.
How come you went with your dad in the beginning? I mean, you felt closer to your dad. Who made the decision that you would be allowed to stay with your dad? What happened?
I mean, looking back now, for sure, I've always had a really strong bond with my dad. And obviously dad wanted me to stay with him, and I always felt that was the most natural place for me to be. I always felt really very connected with dad, and I never wanted him out of my life. So my first choice was always to be with my father.
It's unusual that a boy of your age, about six or seven, would be allowed to go to his dad. How do you think your mum or the people who were making the decision allowed that to happen? I mean, why would your mother have let you be with your dad in the beginning?
I think probably because I was quite well set up at school. We had a nice house just around the corner from school. So because Marco, my younger brother, was so much younger, it was a lot easier to kind of take him out of the school because he had barely even started, and to take him into another school and kind of put him into another life straight away. Whereas I was quite committed to that school. I had a friend group. We had a good house there. So everything was probably more set in stone for me because of my age, and it would have been a bigger task to just, at a drop of a hat, take me out of school, take me to a new place, especially when I didn't want to. And being quite a defiant young child, I could imagine that would have been quite a difficult thing to do overnight.
And you think you would have made it very clear to your mum that you wanted to be with your father, you wanted to stay in the school and all that?
Yeah, definitely. Anyone that was willing to listen, or anyone that would listen, I was always very, very confident in affirming that I wanted to stay where I was, didn't want anything to change.
Yeah. Okay. And then, so as you say, gradually things changed, your mother wanted to move and then applied for custody and wanted you to move in with her. So who got involved then? The family court system, the counsellors, how did that happen?
Yeah, so it all kind of – it progressed from okay, we're going to have a custody case and it's going to be, you know, fair and reasonable, to being becoming quite vindictive, you know, probably egos getting in the way, and lots of complications that kind of draw the process out over a number of years. And it went from, let's try and make a resolution that's best for everyone, to I want this and I want this, and it's a clash. And I felt that I knew what I wanted, but no one wanted to listen to me. So I was kind of in the middle of this big fight. And so it was a progression of things. I remember it getting steadily more, turning into more of a fight, more of a problem, different factors at play. You know, child services came and got involved, the school got involved, the police got involved.
How did that happen?
It was like layer on top of layer.
You were a 10 year old, around 10 at that time, is that right?
Yeah, about 9 or 10, yeah.
And did you get asked wanted?
No, not at all. Not at all. Like this, like I remember the child services lady, I had like a case manager that whenever I had time with her, I'd always try and articulate to her that, you know, like, why does it have to be so complicated? Why can't I just stay where I'm at? And she would just, I always remember, like, she would always try and, she would never quite listen. She would listen to me, but she would try and turn what I wanted to say to suit her and to suit what the outcome they wanted was.
What was the outcome they wanted? What did you feel the system wanted?
The system wanted me to go with mum, for sure. I remember having conversations with my teachers in primary school and them telling me that the best thing for you is to go with your mum. And even though you've got friends here, you'll make new friends, it's going to be better for you to go with your mum. And I think because everyone outside of my dad was influencing me to go with my mum, I think that made me even more resilient and want to fight it even more. And then I think because that fight started.
Yeah, Alex, if you said to them, why do you think it's better for me to go with my mum? Did you ever ask them and did they give you an answer?
Not really. Because it would usually come down to you're going to have a more stable life. You'll be with your brother. Your mum has a very good setup in Dunedin. It's good schools there. So it always come back to like that we think this is going to be better for your future.
But you were very happy living with your dad. Your dad was working. You had a good relationship with him.
Dad had a business in Queenstown, and I was living with him, and everything was good. I had a really good group of friends, a really good school. And I think it was when mum did make the move and suddenly she was actually living 3 hours away. And she wasn't in the same town anymore. That's when she really wanted to get full custody of me. Dad's business started to come apart quite a bit, due in large fact to them splitting and having all this trouble that, you know, comes with a split.
So, I mean, was he under a lot of stress at the time? And
yeah, he was under a huge amount of stress. Like that trouble we had for those 3 years did a huge amount of damage to my dad, and we've only recent times kind of got over that. Well, not have come out the other end. You know, dad went into a big like spiral of depression, and things got really hard. And it was just like I said, it was that progression of things getting more stressful, more of a fight. Mum always had more support from her family. She had a really good lawyer that they paid for. Dad ran out of money. He gave all of my paid a bunch of money in the initial stages to fight it, and then he started representing himself because he didn't have any money for lawyers. So it really felt like everyone was against Dad. You know, the business basically went under after a few years. We didn't have a lot of money, and it would have been very easy for me to go to Mum. Everyone was telling me to go to Mum. Mum had the money. Mum had the support. But I can always remember just feeling like, this isn't right. What's happening to Dad isn't right, and I'm the only one that can see it. And I think that's what really drove me in a big sense to, like, no, I don't care what any of you say, I'm staying with my dad, and that's final. And I remember, like, the child services would come and take me away and take me to my mum's house, and I'd end up running away and running back to my dad's. And then the police would come and get me from the house and take me away, and they'd say, you have to be at your mum's, it's a court order. And I just remember being like, no, like, why will no one listen to me? Like, my dad needs me, and my mum doesn't. And it just turned into this huge turmoil.
Alex, why had your mum moved to Dunedin? Was there a reason why she moved away? She chose to move away?
Yeah, opportunity. Yeah, she's a teacher. And I think after all this trouble in Queenstown, Queenstown's a very small town. You know, everyone knows everyone's business. She wanted to remove herself from the situation, and she got a job teaching in Dunedin, which is a much bigger city.
Yeah, okay. So she had a legitimate reason to go, but do you think she considered staying there for your sake? I mean, how much was that ever discussed?
Yeah, no, like, probably not discussed so much with me. I wouldn't know so much how much she wanted to stay. Queenstown's a funny place because it's so small.
Yeah.
Sometimes it can be hard to justify living there. So she moved away for opportunity to work on her teaching, which is fair enough. I didn't blame her for wanting to leave. It was up the road, and I was happy to come up and see her up there. I just didn't want to go. I wanted to stay where I was.
So you were saying that essentially there was a court order saying she got custody of you.
Yeah. Is that right? To begin with, the court order was like 50-50. So I'd spend like a week at each. This was when she was still in Queenstown. And I remember I'd always dread going to mum's, and I'd always wanted to stay with dad. But that was okay. Like, I remember I had a good time with my brother when I was with mum, because my brother was living with mum full time. And that was okay. It wasn't until that mum moved away, and then I could see that, oh, she's going to want me to move to Dunedin soon. I could kind of see it happening. And that's when I started to resist a lot more. And dad's really started trying to fight for full custody, because he knew that 50-50 custody wasn't going to cut it, because she was going to be living so far away. And I think we got to this point where it wasn't going
to... Can I ask, how did you get to see, when your mum was 3 hours away, who got you there? How did you travel? Was that hard on your dad getting you there?
Often they'd meet halfway. Dad and mum, sometimes my grandparents would.
Do you think your dad had real trouble even getting you there? I mean, one of the problems for fathers in that situation is the costs of travel, the disruption to their lives, getting you back and forth, all that sort of issue.
Yeah, no, for sure. It was a huge stress on my father, like financially, the toll it would take on him in court, having to bend over backwards. To try and fight for his right just to have his kid in his life. Yeah. So it was very, 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 like, emotionally, a huge emotional toll, as well as a big financial toll. You know, lawyers are extremely expensive. And when you add travel and accommodation and everything onto that, it's hard. But I think the most damage that was done to anyone through all of it was the emotional toll it took on us. And I don't think I realised the emotional toll it took on me until later in life, which in the grand scheme of things has probably been quite good for me, because it's turned me into a very resilient person, which I've able to work through that now, and I feel like I'm better for the experience in a way. But at the time it was very traumatic and it was very hard.
So essentially what had happened is the court had decided you had to live full-time with your mother. How much were you supposed to be allowed to see your dad?
At this point, I remember when they had the final court case and mum had won full custody, dad had decided that he was going to have to move to Australia for work opportunities. He realised that, you know, it's a lost cause trying to fight anymore. He's got no money for lawyers. Mum had all the support in the world and a really good lawyer. So he kind of came to the conclusion that he's going to have to move back to Australia, where I was still in this fight or flight mode. And even though the police came and got me from school to take me to my mum's, I was just like so angry at this point, I refused to live with her. So instead of living in Dunedin with mum, they took me to a foster foster home in Dunedin. And that was...
How did your mother let that happen? Do you know? I mean, have you ever talked to her about that?
I'm not sure. No, I haven't. Any of those details around what happened then, Mum kind of just acts like it never happened. And we kind of just focus on our relationship moving forward. I don't even know how I'd bring up those conversations with Mum. There was so much anger for such a long time that it's just easier now to kind of move forward rather than look back. I thought about it a lot when I was at dinner with you about like how could Mum let me live at a foster home, and I think it was probably Mum would have had some responsibility there, but I felt like the system that was in place was really forcing it upon me. And I felt like I got to a point where the child worker, she said, well, if you don't like going to your mum's, you're not going to like your other option. And I was just so angry at that point. I was just like, give me anything else. I do not care. And you kind of, your decision making is based on your emotions rather than, and being 10, 11 years old as well. I remember living at this foster home, and I probably would have been there for like 3 or 4 months. And after about 2 months, I was like, okay, like I've had enough of this. Mum, I will come and live with you. Like, please don't make me, let me go back to this place. And she would still drop me back.
Sorry, Alex. Can you tell us what that was like? Where was this foster home? You had to move school.
So I moved from Queenstown to Dunedin. And I had like 6 months left of my primary school before I went to intermediate. So it was just a foster family in Dunedin in the same city as Mum, on, 20 minutes away. So she would come and get me like for the weekends, but during the week I had to go back and go to school from this foster home. And I remember at the start, like, I was so angry at Mum that I was happy to live with this.
Tell me, what was the foster home like? Was a very different sort of place from what you were used to?
Oh, no, it was totally different to anything I was used to. I was living with a Samoan family that had another foster boy there that was like troubled young kid. And it was just, I mean, they would take me to church on Sundays, try to force me to go to church. It was just totally foreign to anything I'd been before. And even living in Dunedin, which was a much more of a bigger city, to where I'd come from in Queenstown, it was all just new for me. And I think going through all of this, like, these new situations, but having been so angry and hurt on the inside, it was a really interesting time in my life, to say the least.
Where was your dad? I mean, had he left the country by then, or...?
Yep, so he left the country soon after. He'd basically sold up everything in Queenstown and moved to Brisbane. But he was like not in a good state after all this had happened. He was, severely depressed. A lot of trouble, a lot of emotional hurt that, he had everything taken from him, and then finally, after everything had fallen apart, he had all his access restricted, like all his access to his kids restricted as well. And I think it broke him for a long time, which was so hard for me to see. And that's where, even though I lived with my mum for the next 7 years and went through high school, I could never ever have a good connection with her because I held on to what she had done. And in my eyes, now, I probably blame the system as much as I do her, but at that time, she took all the blame in my eyes. It was all her fault. And now looking back on that, I can probably see that was probably unfair, because I can see the system is set up in a way to kind of facilitate that. But at that time, it was a lot of hurt in my heart, directed at my mum, because she, in my eyes, she was the one that was responsible for me. At the end of the day, it was mum and dad. They were the ones that were responsible for me. And there was just so many other people that became involved, from the police, the foster family, the child services. And it just seemed like no one cared. It was just there to do a job and like put this kid somewhere. So yeah, it was a hard time for sure.
And but did you have any, once your dad went back, when came to Australia, did you have any contact with him?
Yeah, so I talked to him on the phone regularly, once a week. I talked to him on the phone, and then it was probably about 4 years until I saw him again.
I think you told me he once tried.
No, he wasn't doing
well. Alex, I think you once told me he came to see you at the school, and the school wouldn't let you see.
That's
him.
Right. Yeah. So just before, so when I was in this foster home, I remember Dad found out where it was, and he came round and he was trying to see me because he was going to go to Australia soon afterwards. And they wouldn't let him see me at the house. So I remember, like, driving to school, and I remember seeing the rear vision mirror. He was following us to school. And I knew that I was sitting in class and knew he was going to come in and see me at some point. And as soon as he came in, I just, like, ducked out and started talking to him outside. And the teachers came. They had to call the police. They came over and they said, like, we're really sorry, but if you don't leave, we've been instructed to call the police if we see you on the grounds. So, like, the child services already knew that he was going to come and try and see me. And they'd already talked to the school and said, if you see this guy, call the police, get him locked up straight away. And I know Dad was locked up twice. Just for trying to see us.
God, so upsetting. I'm getting all emotional. I mean, what was that like for you? Knowing your dad was being locked up for it because he was trying to see you.
Oh, it was really, really hard. Really, really hard. I remember, I don't know how to describe it. Like, I really went into myself. Like, I really, like, bottled everything up and closed up and just, like, really had this anger inside me. And I think that anger helped me get through a lot of things, like making new friends, you know, living in this foster home, going to different schools. I was just on edge. I was in this place. I didn't know what was going to happen. And I just realized that it's all on me. If anything's going to be, it's up to me. I stopped trusting everyone else but myself. It's hard. It's hard. Like, I think I suppressed so many of these memories for such a long time, and then having spoken to you and talked to a few of my friends that have been through the same thing, it's brought up a lot of, like, old emotions. And looking back on it, I can really see how that's actually changed and shaped my personality now. All these really, really, really hard things I went through on a subconscious level, it's definitely stayed with me until today. And this all happened 16 years ago.
Now, so you eventually, when you were 17, you finally left and went to your father. Is that right?
What was that, sorry?
I think you said to me that when you were about 17, as soon as you were old enough to leave, you went and went to your father.
Yeah, that's right. So as soon as I was able to, I knew from 13 years of age, as soon as I was able to go to Australia and live with Dad, I was going to. And by that time, me and my mum and my family got to a point where they were kind of supportive of that. They knew for so long I was going to go and do that. So, I came to Australia when I was 17 and did my last year of high school here and lived with Dad. And I've been doing that ever since.
He must have been very happy.
He is very happy, for sure. Happier now than we've been in a very long time.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is really nice. Yeah.
And I mean, it's good that you're reconciled with your mother. I mean, it is really important you have a relationship with her. And I'm pleased that you can see it wasn't just her. It was also this system, this crazy system we had that was working against you.
No, definitely. And, like, I'm kind of not grateful for it, but I can see the positive that's come from it. But at the time, if things hadn't worked out as well as they had for me now, I'd probably look back on that time and be like, that's had a really, really negative impact on my life. I can see for some people would go through that, that same situation, and it would just crush them. And yeah. I think I'm better because I went through that and was able to get through it. I feel stronger for it now. But it could have easily totally destroyed my dad. You know, I could see that easily driving, you know, to things like suicide, things like just crushing my confidence so much that I was never able to step up for myself again. I could see, like, at that stage in your life, these things weigh on you so heavily. And for some people, I could just see that the absolute devastation that it would leave them with for family, for the kids involved, for everyone. I remember,
I was going to say, Alex, what would you say to people involved in the family law system about what they're doing to children?
Is that say to people in the family court?
Yeah, well, people in the family court, the whole system. What would you say to them about what they're doing to children in this situation?
I'd say stop following the rules and start listening to people.
And listening to kids.
Start thinking about, they need to care a bit more. Yeah, it's just they get lost in that bureaucracy. They're there to do a job. They're not there to actually support who needs support. And there was always good people that stand out. I remember some of my teachers that would really like take it on themselves to give me that extra attention or pull me aside and say, like, I know you're going to have a lot of trouble at home. It's going to be okay. But then a lot of people that just, you know, treated you like shit, like the police. I remember every time dealing with the police, they just think it was all my fault. Like being 13 and being like, so, you know, yeah, they really put it upon you. Like, why are you making this such a problem? What's the problem? And no one really takes the time to understand what you're going through. No one ever sat me down and said, what do you want? It was always sitting me down to tell me what they thought was best for me. And kids are smart, you know, like 10, 11, 12 year olds, people write them off to being children and sure they are, but, you know, I think a lot of kids are pretty smart at that age, and I think they know what's best for them. Not always, and you need adults in your life to look after you at that age, but to be totally disregarded by anything you feel or say at 12 years of age, I don't think it's the right way to go about it.
Yeah. Well, Alex, look, I'm really touched that you're telling us your story, and I think a lot of people listening will be very moved by it.
It's got a happy ending.
And you know, I think there are a lot of lessons in your story for other people, and particularly I suppose for men, I feel, who are caught up in this, maybe it'll give them hope that there will be a happy ending for them too. Okay, Alex, thanks very much.